But that dark vision is not the worst possible outcome. Even more worrisome would be that perhaps in the wake of those regional wars, a new Iraqi leader emerged to unify his country, and then perhaps the region. This was one variant hinted at in a U.S. government intelligence study, Mapping the Global Future, in which the National Intelligence Council presented as one future scenario the rise of a new pan-Arab caliphate. A caliphate would not have to be entirely successful for it to present a serious challenge to the international order, the report noted. Nor would its proclamation likely lessen the incidence of terrorism. Rather, it could fuel a new generation of terrorists intent on attacking those opposed to the caliphate, whether inside or outside the Muslim world. A poll taken in 2005 by Oxford Research International of 1,711 Iraqis reported that 74.8% felt that what their country needed was a single strong leader. At first, the appearance of a new Iraqi strongman might also appear to be a relief to the U.S. government and the West, especially if he weren't a radical cleric. He might be a former Iraqi major or lieutenant colonel. He could be young, energetic, moral, modest, even austere, spurning luxury and driving an old Volkswagen. Admirers might speak of how he retreats into the desert for a week at a time to cleanse himself spiritually through solitary meditation. He might be of mixed ethnic origin, with a Kurdish father and a Sunni mother. There would be embellished tales of his spontaneous generosity, taking care of widows and children, and giving away personal goods without hesitation. But he likely also would have a harsh side, perhaps illustrated by his summary execution with his pistol of one of his soldiers caught in the act of raping a woman. There is a precedent for the emergence of just such a figure. Salah ed-Din Yusef, or Saladin as he was known in the West, came out of the fractionalized chaos of the 12th century Mideast and rose to power in response to the invasion of the Crusaders. He was the son of a Kurd who had been the governor of Tikrit. He was a man of great ambitions, but simple and modest in his private life, careless of protocol, and so good-natured as to be almost weak, wrote Zoe Oldenburg, the French historian of the Crusades. He also unified the Arab world in responding to the Crusader invasion. The new Saladin would emerge first as a relief from the madness of chaos and terrorism. He would be a unifier, bringing together the disparate and weary parts of Iraq. He might even extend his influence beyond Iraq's borders, calling for the revival of the Arab world. Bolstered by Iraq's oil revenues, he might succeed in creating a wave of new pan-Arab feeling. Riding that wave, he might confront the West as it hasn't yet been. That is, as an Arab leader combining popular support with huge oil revenues. And he may also seek to harness that oil money to a new program to secure nuclear weapons. Such a program could threaten the existence of Israel or, by secret means of delivery, New York or Washington. Before that happened, the West would have to consider a war of preemption. But this time, its soldiers might really face nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons. This is James Lurie. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Fiasco, the American Military Adventure in Iraq by Thomas E. Ricks. This program was executive produced by Patty Peruse, and produced, directed, and abridged by John McElroy. Fiasco is a production of Penguin Audio, a member of Penguin Group USA, Inc. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. The book Fiasco is available wherever Penguin Press books are sold.